Blog Talk Radio.
When life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes. So write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You got.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. It is a great Wednesday evening here in Central Kentucky, where I, Stephen Zimmer, am broadcasting right now for episode number 373 for those of you keeping score. Hope you're all having a great night tonight, and the chat room is open. We got it open in the nick of time, and it looks like Sandy Linder is the first in, but I know it's going to fill up because we got a great guest tonight. A lot of fun, and just give you a little teaser, tonight involves a debut. Yes, a debut writer. So this is going to be a lot of fun tonight, because that's always a special day with authors, writers, creatives of any kind. Awesome. Very excited about that. But, yeah, definitely want to give a shout-out to Far Cry, the band, of course, that provided us with that great intro music. Shout out to Pete Fry, lead guitar player, band leader extraordinaire, and of course his tap room on 19th. Definitely go see that if you're in Philadelphia, or I should say go eat there if you're in Philadelphia. Great restaurant and bar there. So yes, I would love to have a night like that right now. It has been a lot of work. And this week had been pushing the midnight oil, getting up early, pushing the midnight oil, getting up early. Yes, it's been that kind of week because we're about 2 weeks out from Imaginarium, and that's the convention side. And on the press side, we've had just so much going on. So, of course, podcast is affiliated with the Imaginarium convention and by extension also with Seven Star Press. So, yeah, we're going to keep you up on a little bit of that news. Next week, we will have a full preview of Imaginarium, and yes, and there's going to be quite a lot to go over, so who knows, that might be a three-hour episode. No, we'll keep it condensed and definitely try to keep it sane and orderly, but yeah, there is a lot to go over next week, and so yes, but I'll give you a preview, a little bit of, a little wrap-up of what just the last few days have been like. But first, I'll give you a little bit of Imaginarium news. First of all, the Marathonarium Anthology is out and on the streets. Can't wait to see what the full response is so far. The early response I've heard, people just love this anthology so far. And, yeah, I see that. I've seen pictures posted online. Some folks are starting to get print copies and all that kind of good stuff. So very excited about that. Nine great stories, edited by Sandy Linder. Available in print and also on Kindle, Nook, Kobo, and Apple Books. Sales of this go to support the Imaginarium convention. So definitely, please pick these up, gift them. They're very inexpensive. Yeah, gift them an ebook or print, and definitely check out the stories. W. Jade Young, Brian T. Ronk, Alyssa Childress, Janine Walker, Jen Selinsky, Lisa Milden, Clayton Barnett, Karma Haley Shoemaker, and Tom Yukinski are the featured authors in this anthology. And yes, I can't wait to celebrate this with everybody at the convention itself. We do have a lot of announcements that are going to be coming out in a barrage toward the end of this week, just so we can have everything in place for a couple weeks so people can really go over everything, especially next week. We got a lot of stuff to put up on the site still a little bit, just to wrap things up with updates. But we have four new panelists that just got announced this week. There are more coming, so keep an eye out for that. But the four that have recently been announced are Jim Adkins. He's an author. And then author, screenwriter, filmmaker, mental health advocate, Sheridan C. Hall. You'll see him, or should I say hear him, on the Star Chamber show, I believe, in later in July. So, yeah, to give you a little teaser about some of the guests coming up later in July on the show here. We have panelist K.L. Bone, who's an author, and then the amazing Colleen Green, who's been a show guest here on the podcast, has attended the convention, definitely a favorite around here, is one of the leaders of the Right Writers of Dayton, and just a fabulous writer and individual. And yes, she is going to be a panelist, huge panelist guest, one of our biggest ever. Go over it when you can. Yeah, it's just been amazing. And we also had we have by far the most advanced hotel rooms reserved. Be sure you reserve them, because the Friday they do, the block is probably going to be sold out completely by Friday. But we were able to get a few more rooms added, definitely way ahead of where we were last year on that. So yeah, if that tells you anything, but yeah, definitely get your hotel rooms reserved, and please do not wait on that, because people wait the last minute, they're gone, and there's nothing we can do about that. That's always a tough, tough thing to do. Hello to Duan Hurd, who's just entered the chat room. Yes, be seeing you in a couple of weeks. And yes, Holly will be aboard in a few minutes. But yeah, I got plenty to go over while she gets ready. Like I said, it's just been wall to wall for Holly and myself. So I'm definitely going to handle some of the early announcements. But yes, to give you an idea of what's been going on lately, of course, we had a lot of new releases with Nabarro Immersion, the new fantasy novel by Jenny France, and of course, the new literary fiction novel Pan and the Message Chair by Lawrence Wheel, and then Reckoning Day, the new Garais Lagal novel by Stephen Shrewsbury, and also added to that is now The Phantom of the Circus, the newest thriller from Michael Houchin, and definitely a great novel that goes with his franchise. It includes Tybee Island, H-Bomb, and Death of Innocence. And then we also had not one, not two, three new releases from Sandy Lender, the genre blender. We had the cover reveals and releases for three books in her epic fantasy series. And wow, the covers look good together. I still can't get over how good this trilogy looks together. And it's even better in what's inside the covers. A fantastic trilogy, the Choices trilogy, and, of course, that includes Choices Meant for Gods, Choices Meant for Kings, and Choices Meant for All. And, yes, you're going to love putting on these on your shelf. They look beautiful, absolutely beautiful. So get out there and pick those up. I mentioned already the Marathonarium Anthology. And then also we had in print for the very first time released is Lee E.E. Stone's Episode 1 of Men Who Were Also Monsters. And this is the first time. This is only a novella only available previously in ebook format. It is part and also kicks off the Alex J. Hunter versus the Devil Lords of the Ember Crown series. Doesn't that sound like a Rob Zombie album title? Alex J. Hunter versus the Devil Lords of the Ember Crown series. Awesome. And I'm definitely happy for Lee. Originally, he was only going to have it available in ebook format, but he had decided later he was really itching to see this also in print. So, yeah, we made it happen. And so, yeah, he's got that out now. Tonight's guest will be talking about another new release that just came out, and then there is a new one that's going to be announced tomorrow, so we'll give you a little sneak peek on that. Author is Vitesh Anakar, and the book is entitled Under the Gaze of Ganesh, and this is a really interesting contemporary fantasy thriller action-adventure novel, a debut novel by Vitesh, and yeah, it goes into lots of stuff, as you can tell by the title. Yeah, it involves Hindu gods like Ganesh and Kali, and it's set in today's world, and it's an absolutely fantastic novel. We will be unveiling that one tomorrow, and also that about to unveil is yours truly. Yes, I had three that were previously only available in ebook editions. that are now for the very first time available in print. Yes, novellas. So they're very inexpensively priced from all the vendors online. And yes, one from each of the franchises set in that awesome world that Raiden Valkyrie inhabits. The books are Blood of a Queen, and that's a Raiden Valkyrie tale. Depths of Night, that's a Ragnar Stormbringer tale. And the latest hero in this world that I had introduced, that's Hong V Shadowwalker with A Moment in Eternity. All three are available now in print for the very first time. So we've got that as well. So yes, it's just been a lot of great stuff. I actually finished managed to finish. I have been working hard to make sure I still get a writing session in to start my days, and have been able to keep that, been tenuous on some days. But I did finish the first draft on a new Ragnar Stormbringer novel. And I always trust my instincts and where the story leads me. Originally, I had kind of envisioned it as a novella, but it needed more to tell the full story and do it justice. So it grew into a 64K novel, and it is called Where Mountains Rise. And that's the first draft is finished. Of course, I got to do a couple passes before it goes to the editor. That won't take too long. And then I will be diving into probably a Hong V Shadowwalker novella, and then the second book of that new Raiden Valkyrie duology. So, yeah, so you have a little writing update for you from my end, and that's pretty awesome, too. And so, yeah, just figured I'd pass that along. And right on cue, it looks like we have Holly joining us right as I finish up those updates. Holly, there you are.
Hello.
Loud and clear. Gotcha. Hello. How are you, Holly?
I am here.
You're sane. You're here.
But I'm here. Oh my goodness.
I know the feeling.
Close, guys. Imaginary getting a close.
If Imaginary was next week, I'd probably be near catatonic right now, but we still got a few more days to shore up things and tie up details and all that. So, we just gotta hang in there and get there. So, but tonight is a special night, though, Holly, and we're gonna get to that in just a moment. But you hang on there, because I definitely want to acknowledge the two parties that brought you tonight's show. And bringing you tonight's show are Ren Garcia, of course, League of Elders series with his famous question that we love on the show. And then also Sandy Lender, the genre blender. She's everywhere. She is just on the move, folks. And definitely exciting times. So let's go ahead and get Ren Garcia with his famous question. And then we'll go over for a little spot from Sandy. So here's Ren.
The League of Elder dares to be unusual. It's easy to be swept away in this bold and uninhibited landscape where fantastic heroes become old friends and sinister villains inhabit every dark corner. Dare to explore things best left alone. Each book is your lantern, lighting the path to a world never before seen. So what do you say? Are you weird enough for us?
Well, at this point, we're beyond weird enough for you, Ren. It's that time of year. So yes. And unfortunately, it doesn't look like Ren this year is going to be able to make it down yet, but we'll get him out to come down here to Kentucky, hopefully next year. So he is something else. And we appreciate him very much and appreciate his constant support of the podcast, and definitely hope that he's been enjoying some of the great guests that we've been having. So thank you, Ren. And now I will give you a little bit from Sandy Lender, the genre blender. Here you go.
Prophecy stirring in the land of Unveiled. Dragons are rising, and an unclean army marches toward one young woman who holds the fate of the world in her hands. Amanda Charisse may be considered a chosen one, but she exercises free will in Sandy Lender's epic fantasy series, coming soon from 7th Star Press. Subscribe to Sandy's newsletter for updates and news breaks at sandylender.com.
Thank you very much, Sandy Lender. You're awesome. The only addendum I would make to that awesome spot is the word soon, because those books are out and they are available now wherever great books are sold: Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kindle, Apple Books, iTunes, and Kobo and Nook and all that good stuff. So, yeah, check those out. Support Sandy. Yeah, she's definitely an amazing, amazing individual. And she survived a recent Duran Duran concert in Florida. So, hey, there's that too. So, but back to you, Holly. And as we wait for tonight's guest to call in, and he should be calling about now. So any moment. So
yeah,
we'll be able to give him the grand introduction. We'll try to give him that. Because this is a personal one. The personal one for Holly, definitely a big one. And also for myself, and big day of celebration, and lots of cool stuff to talk about. And that's why I'm glad that Holly and I are both hanging in here right now. And thank you for, joining the chat room, folks. Yeah, definitely. I see Metalbeck Harrison is in there. And thank you, because I know Wednesdays are a beast on her end, on schedule-wise. She has a very heavy Wednesday, so thank you very much for checking in with us. And, we're going to have a great fun tonight for sure. It's going to be a bit celebratory. Next week's show will be very, 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 very informative with our preview of Imaginarium. But tonight is going to take on a little bit of a celebratory air. It'll be a little fun and, definitely a little bit commemorative. And we got a very proud individual in Holly here. So, this is going to be cool. You've been looking forward to it, Holly. This has been a big day for you, too.
I am looking forward to it. Yes,
yep.
Very much so. I'm a proud mama today. Noah is my son, for those of you who don't know that. Poetry, gosh, since, way back in middle school, I would say,
mm-hmm.
He started writing poetry. But, I mean, I've always read to the kids. I used to drag Noah and Diana once a week to the library, and, we'd always get books. They'd always check it out, and we'd always have reading time. And, I always read to them when they were little. And, I've been an avid reader my whole life. So reading always been very important, for us. And creativity just comes with, Noah and Diana's very creative, and Noah's a phenomenal writer. And he started a novel years ago and put it down, and, life happens, and you let things go by the wayside. But I'm hoping with this batch of poems that he has now, got out.
Which we're going to get into. Don't say the title yet.
Which we're going to get into. But, with Imaginarium coming, it's going to light fires under everyone's butts, and then they're ready to go home and write.
And on that note, looks like he is on deck. And so tonight is a very exciting night. It is an honor and a privilege to be introducing a writer on the day that they became a published author writer. And yes, folks, today. In fact, same day as the show. And so, couldn't time this more perfectly. And he is an avid gamer as well in both video gaming, tabletop gaming, and is known for having very entertaining live streams. He is also a music producer, musician. And as if that's not enough, now he is a published poet with a brand new book that was illustrated by Jason William Allen called Weight of Thought, now available in print edition. So now bringing aboard for the first time as a featured guest on the Star Chamber show and forthcoming Imaginarium 2023 panelist and newly published author, the one, the only, Are You Ready to Ride the Lightning with Noah Vizorek. And Noah is live. There he is.
Hi,
hey,
hi, Noah. Can you hear me?
Hear you loud and clear.
I hear you, son. Mama's very proud of you today. I haven't got to talk to you yet, but I'm very proud. You actually became a published author before me, but you actually were published once before this, which we'll get into.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, way back in high school.
Congratulations. Yeah, you have a full book out today, Weight of Thought, and just looks gorgeous. I loved looking at that Amazon listing today with the, you know, little, you know, available now button and everything like that. That's awesome and beautiful book. And congratulations. Well, a lot went into it. So how are you feeling? I hope you feel a little more better than us. Yeah, we're beating up today. How are you feeling?
I am too. It's been a long one. I literally just came from DMing a D&D session, like not 15 minutes before this. So it's something. It's kind of surreal. It's weird seeing my own name and work on Amazon being sold. It's
love it.
Kind of weird. I'm used to buying things from Amazon, not selling things. This is interesting.
You're used to it.
But yeah, it's cool. I already have one of my friends already purchased a copy, and she's gonna send it to me to sign. So that's fun.
That's awesome. I couldn't be more happy with this. I mean, it just looks gorgeous. I mean, the poems are great, and I'm excited. This is actually the first poetry release that we've ever had in our press, and I'm talking well over 100 and some odd releases so that we've done. And so, this is really cool. It represents a first for the press too, and you had a great collaborator in this with Jason William Allen, super talented artist, people could see it just right from the cover art. I mean, it's a beautiful cover. And
I love the cover. Yeah, that's my favorite part, is the cover and the back. That it's gorgeous.
Yeah, true story. Jason had a tablet go down that had his artwork on it, and had just one low-res file of the cover art, and so we had to scramble to try to get a higher-res version. Thankfully, we got a hold of one. He found one,
Herschel Zond had a little help in that. Thank you, Herschel.
I bet you Herschel Zond, I think, had some help in that, but definitely appreciate But thank God, yeah, because that cover pops and most people would probably not really notice the difference, but yeah, with the higher res dirt one, and yeah, I mean, it's just gorgeous.
Yeah, that makes the difference.
And
especially when you get it in your hand.
And the back cover is beautiful. The back cover even has a gorgeous image on it. So I mean, it's stocked all around. There's 49 brand new illustrations in it, and 49 of Noah's poems in it, and it is just it's a really, I mean, just what a cool book, full color too, and full color interior as well.
Yes.
So that's
great,
awesome.
Statement piece. That's what I told Steve. It's a great statement piece for people to have, like on their coffee table or in tables, you know, for people to pick up and read and just check out the artwork. And explain that a little bit, Noah. What was the whole idea with the artwork and the images?
So when we first thought of this idea of actually compiling a bunch of my old poems into like a legitimate book, what is it, like a year ago? Originally, Jason and I, we would kind of every few weeks kind of go through a video call, kind of going through just talking like, what I was looking for when it came to the pictures and everything. But I never really had a clear idea, because most of my poems in there, they don't have a singular meaning. Each person can interpret a lot of them differently. Cause I never really planned them out. So coming up with what I would want them to look like it was just too much. So I leaned on him to really just let his creativity flow. Whatever he thought of when he was reading all my poems, I wanted him to kind of personify that. And so he gave me so many cool images and pictures. And I had to painstakingly go in and assign each one and try to think, oh, gosh, do I want this one here or do I want that one there? But I feel like I got somewhere where I was really happy and comfortable with each picture to poem, kind of giving off, I guess, lack for a better term right now because I'm exhausted, like the vibe of the poem. And I hope that it comes out clear in each one. Some of them are a little on the nose, I'm not going to lie, but it fits. And I'm really happy that it turned out a lot better than I could have ever really thought or imagined. Because originally when I first came up with the idea of actually publishing, I didn't think of an illustrator. That was your guys' idea.
That was your mother.
And, yes. it's awesome. I just like looking at it. I can't wait to actually get it in my hands, though. I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, well, Noah, you said two profound things. You let you did not micromanage the artist's process.
No.
I see a lot of people make mistakes in projects, and they bring other artists in, and you know, they might try to micromanage them. You let them bring their full talent to the table in the way that they're used to, and the result was spectacular. And I mean, Jason and you also happen to have great chemistry. I mean, you guys are on the same page in a lot of areas and click. And so, yeah, it was just the perfect way to do it.
I knew they would meld perfect because, you know, I know Noah's writing style and I knew Jay's art because, well, it's hanging all over my house. But yeah, I know this aesthetic, you know, and I love him to pieces, and he makes my little black heart very happy. And so, I'm like, Noah, we need to do an illustration poetry book. You know, you need to talk to Jason. And I got these two together, and man, magic happens. It did. It turned out better than I could have even imagined. And with the color graphics and with the – I mean, it's just beautiful. It's just something to see, and I hope you all check it out. They will be, him and Jason both will be at Imaginarium with books in hand. So you can get you a signed copy, get you a copy signed by both Jason and Noah since they're both there. Yep. See, you can get both of them to sign it.
Well, what's funny is
very cool.
Whenever Jason and I would have our little video calls or whatever, normally we would talk about the project for, I don't know, about 30 minutes, but then there'd be another 30, 45 minutes of us just, you know, shooting the shit, you know, just kind of going around and just talking about random stuff. I'd show him some of the cool things I have around, and he'd show me some of his cool things. And yeah, we just kind of would just hang out. I'm excited to see him in person again at Imaginarium with the actual book in hand and just kind of just be proud of what we made because it's cool. And I'm a huge advocate for letting the artist, you know, express themselves freely and create what they want to create. If you ask a band if they make music for their fans or for themselves, 9 times out of 10, they make it for themselves. They want to make music that they want to hear, not what the masses want to hear. The same goes for any art form. So it's best to let the artist interpret things as they see it and create something that they want rather than micromanage them and put them in a box. No one wants to be put in a box, especially a creativity box. We all know how terrible that is.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
the thing is collaborating with, you know, you've got to have a rapport with who you're collaborating with. you know, if you talk to some people and you're just not on the same page and you don't have the, like, the same vision for outcome, or, you know, you find that early on. Don't go into something and think, oh, well, it might get better with this person or this editor or this. Or no, if you don't have the rapport to begin with, it's probably, you know, going to end up in a stressed out train wreck for you. So, you know, you've got to have that rapport and build that. Like you said, you and Jay hung out, shoot the shit, you know, and talk and you know, got to really know each other and your vision for this. And that's what worked, and it shows, you know. Proof's in the pudding.
Yeah.
And it was fun. I would totally do it again, too. In another, 10 years?
I was telling the day, I told Noah today, I was like, all right, yeah, so you get started on book two now. he said 10 years. I said, I was thinking more about 3 weeks. Give me another one, 3 weeks.
Well, it's like, I say 10 years because some of the poems that I have in this compendium are from, I mean, late high school years.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, some of them might be a little, like, you know, edgy and stuff. But, I mean, you know, it's just what it is. I wrote things throughout the years because I don't like planning what I write because it feels disingenuous to me. I know, you know, a lot of other writings and a lot of other authors, they have to plan and stuff. And, you know, that's fine. It's just for me. What works for me, if I'm going to write poetry, I want it to be raw, unfiltered. I want to write what I'm feeling in that moment or thinking in that moment because it just feels more genuine, more real, and there's, like, no filter, and it just it makes me feel better because it's also, like, a therapy. It's a catharsis type of thing, you know? You write down what you feel it's nice. That's kind of what poetry has always been for me. I never, ever would have thought I'd be having my own book. If you would have told me this 10 years ago, I would have not believed you. Just like, no way. But yeah.
It's a strange feeling. I still remember my first book, too. Coming out, and it is a weird feeling, but a good weird, but weird.
Yeah. It's like exciting, but also anxiety inducing. Cause you're just like, oh God,
it's out there. Yeah.
Oh, who's going to take it? It's out there. Like, oh gosh. But yeah, it's,
that's normal.
I'm excited
that's
to
normal.
See how it goes. Yeah.
I think it would go great. And I mean, I will mention Metalbeck got to preview one of the last versions of the Digital Galley, the one that had my placeholder bio for Noah, which one day we should probably read in public somewhere because it's absolutely hilarious. But Metalbeck said she really connected like instantly. And you're talking about how they just came from raw emotion, nothing, you know, too planned or anything like that, just very expressive over time. And yeah, she said she, without any prompting, I mean, that's what she said. She got out of it right away and connected with it right away. And it said it really spoke to her. And that was, so I've already seen that. It's a good reaction like that from your book. So yeah, I think you're going to have no problem. I think you're going to find your audience. And that's the thing, you know, not 100% of the public loves every single book, but within that public, there is an audience. There is an audience, and I think yours will definitely find that audience. I think the way it's presented and the way, you know, the artwork goes with it, I think, you know, you'll definitely the kind of folks that'll really connect with it will find their way to this one. Wouldn't you say, Holly?
Oh yeah, yeah, I'm sure. That's it. It's all about finding your audience, you know. But, once you do, you're in good shape. You start out with friends and family and spreads from there. Word of mouth goes a long way, you know. and share on all your media and all that.
I'm just really curious to see, because I don't know, I'm weird. I'm like, I want to see who actually bought this. Like, I don't care if it's a random stranger. I'm just like, ooh, I got to see the demographics. Like, so I'm just excited to see, like, even at Imaginarium, if I sell a few books there, that'd be awesome. I'll be happy to sign it. My hand probably won't, but, you know, it'll be fine. I'm ready to do that. Yeah, like I said, my friend already bought one, and she's going to send it to me because she lives out west. So she's going to send it to me to sign, and then I'm going to send it back to her. But, yeah, it's going to be really exciting in the next few weeks just to see where it goes.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they,
and what would you say your inspiration was to start writing poetry, opposed, you know, cause you did start a book long time ago back in high school, you know, and you put it down for all these years. Yeah. It was really good too, starting out, but, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that was like your first stab at writing something like on your own and not in school. But what started you on your love of poetry?
Oh man, it's hard to tell. I think it really started because the thing is, me and English classes never got along. My mom can attest to that.
So he was in honors English. You were in honors.
I was in honors English. I was in AP literature, and I hated it. Yeah. Well, I loved AP Lit. AP Lit was awesome because it was a small class, and we all loved what we were doing. We were reading Shakespeare. I love Shakespeare. Reading the Odyssey. I really think the Odyssey is what really spurred my love of poetry. That and Edgar Allan Poe, of course. Yes. I remember having a Robert Frost book when I was real little. That
I used to read it to you all the time when you were little.
Yeah, but I really took a lot of inspiration from Poe, and like I said, The Odyssey is probably my biggest one because it is absolutely my favorite story of all time. Because I'm a weird nerd, but it's just so out there and adventurous and crazy, and it has so many it's like the base of so much mythology, and it's just so cool. And Odysseus's journey, just I feel like a lot of people can relate to certain parts of it, because even nowadays it's just expansive. But I think when I discovered that book in my early high school years, that really kind of implanted that seed in me. Because, you know, I was an edgy teenager who wanted to be in a heavy metal band. And so I would write my own, like, songs or whatever with my friends. And they were really bad and, like, just rough around. I mean, I was in middle school, high school. But then towards, like, my later years in high school, I actually sat there as this, well, I don't know, maybe I'll try writing something a little more serious. And so I dabbled a little. And whenever we had assignments to write poetry or whatever, my AP Lit teacher always kind of pointed me out. And even one time, which I guess this kind of leads up to how technically I'm already a published author, this was, I think, the last day of high school for me. I had, like I said, me and English classes didn't get along, so I had to go and make up some grades. And so my last day of high school, was just me playing catch up. And in order for me to go from a B to an A, my teacher was just told me there's just this nationwide contest. You just write a poem, send it in. Maybe you'll get published in like this huge book that spans across from schools across the nation. And so I just told her, okay, yeah, I can do that. She looked at me. She said, I know you can do it. I know you'll get in. I just need you to write it real quick. I know you can do it fast. I know it'll be good. Just go ahead. And I was just, okay, I'll do it. And so I wrote up a little something probably in like 5-10 minutes. Had a friend come over and read it and just be like, hey, do you know what this is about? And he goes, oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, okay, good. It's legible. And then I gave it to her, and then a few weeks went by, and then I find out that, yeah, it made it in the book. And I...
Library of Congress, yeah.
Yeah, and that book is actually in the Library of Congress, so it will be there forever. Just, I think it was a poem about time.
It was. It was. I told Stephen that last night. It's something to do with the wheel of time. Time.
Yeah, I think
I remember
it was time related. I actually probably have the book around here somewhere, but I have no idea where it is. Yeah, I don't know if I could find it, but it would just take me a minute. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. When that happened, I was like, oh, I'm technically a published author now. Cool. And... years went by, and like I said, I just wrote a lot of poems kind of randomly throughout the years. But, yeah, probably back to the inspiration thing, because my ADHD track mind is so bad. music is also probably the biggest one for me, especially during those years when I was actually finding myself and discovering what kind of you know, things I'm into, the community I want to be with and everything. And yeah, it just kind of all molded into whatever the heck I was in my later teen years, and then 10 years later, now here I am. So, yeah, it's the biggest inspiration was definitely Poe, Odyssey, and all the music I was into during those days.
That's awesome.
And,
yeah.
And I tried. That's what I said. I told Steve that, you know, I drug you and Diana, even if you didn't feel like it. We went to the library, you know, once a week. We try to get there once a week and trade out our books. And there was times where me and Noah were reading the same books, and we had to put two different bookmarks in a book. There was that one series, that YA vampire series.
Chronicles of Vladimir Todd.
That's it. Oh, my God. We couldn't wait. We could not wait for one to get done with the book. So, we you know, I'd be reading it, like, during the day when I could, here and there when he was at school, and then he'd get home and read, and we were sharing the same books. It's
those are still good books. I would read them today. I still love those books.
Very good books. Those books are very good. We got the library to actually order them in. But yeah, Diana was reading a lot of manga back then. She liked the manga books and stuff. But
all three also shared the Hunger Games books. We really got into those.
Yeah, we all three read the Hunger Games. But yeah, that's what I said. We read. You know, you guys have always had reading forefront, because I read and read and read you guys, and you see me reading Bibles after Bibles of Anne Rice books. I kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I was like, oh my God, Anne, you're killing me. Yeah, like, oh God, here comes another one. But yeah, you know, reading is very important. But yeah, Noah's love of Metallica, you know, come early too, because when I was pregnant, little tidbit, guys, I put headphones on my stomach, and Noah got to listen to Beethoven and Amadeus Mozart and Metallica. So he loved all of those, and he's going to get to see a Metallica concert coming up in the fall. But, yeah, tell him about you took some college courses for actually music production.
I took online courses for Full Sail University for music production. And that was a really, really cool experience. And unfortunately, last year I had to take a break from that because it's just it was just too much. Everything was kind of happening all at the same time, and it was just everything was overwhelming, and I didn't want to just flunk out. So hopefully I'll have another chance to go in and actually finish it. But yeah, I was in it for about 2 years. And I learned a lot. It took a long time for me to build up the courage to actually go for it. And while I'm disappointed I didn't finish it, I'm glad I started it and went through all those years. I learned so much, and I am excited to actually sit down and just breathe and make music. Because of how everything's been lately, I haven't been able to sit down and actually work and make anything as of late. But it's definitely in the back of my head, always scratching, like, yeah, you know, you could just open up the DAW and just play around and make a little ditty, you know. And honestly, that's a good way to start. That's one thing I definitely learned was just sometimes you just got to sit down and make sounds, and eventually, you know, something will click and it could be a hit. You never know. But yeah, it was honestly a really cool experience. I do highly recommend that school. If you want to get into anything really with the arts, when it comes to filmmaking, when it comes to writing, it comes to music, especially. I mean, they were like the first big college to actually introduce music music producing classes and things like that. And it's not just music production. They have audio engineering and everything. I mean, they have so many top creators and producers and engineers from the industry that went to school there or help run classes. It's super cool. I wish I could actually go down to the campus in Florida because they have like their own like massive runway for filming and stuff. It's really cool. But yeah, it was a really awesome experience, and I can't wait to actually go back and get back into it and fully engage. It'll be nice.
Engage. That's a good word. But yeah, thinking about Star Trek there. But you I think you have a great ear for music and a lot of sensibilities for music production that are, you know, some major league talent waiting to happen. But along with that, I mean, obviously lyric writing and things like that fit very close with poetry. Obviously they're intertwined often. Mm-hmm. So what about some of these, anything from here possibly going to be used as the roots of future song lyrics or something like that? Have you ever thought about that?
Yes, and you and Jason are both songwriters too.
Yeah. So funny enough, I'm pretty sure a few of the poems in there, I actually originally intended for them to be a song, but they just kind of fit more perfect as just a poem. But there's definitely a lot of good tidbits and a lot of those writings that I would love to have in a song. But I have written proper song lyrics that aren't in the book. I have a couple in a file somewhere that I want. And I have one that's written on a piece of paper that's just sitting on my desk that I just kind of left there and haven't done anything with yet. But it's there just staring me in the face. But yeah, I mean, that's another thing. Like, if people want to sit there and look at my writings and be like, I want to put that in the song, it, by all means, heck yeah, go for it. I just, you know, I'll take some of the credit, you know, just, I'm not going to do it for free, but yeah, like, yeah, I mean, I would love for someone to sit there and say, I want to, like, honestly, I thought about writing stuff for like Hallmark cards, you know, just like a gift card.
You can make cards. Our buddy
sure
Shannon, Shannon McRoberts, she's actually making homemade cards now, which she sells at her vending tables. But she started writing cards. Mm-hmm. It got her off of her writing her books. She said, I got to get back to my books, but I got sidetracked. She's like us. She's got squirrels. And so, you know, the brain is turning all these different things, and she started doing cards right now. And I said, hey, whatever makes you happy, create it, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You can always come back to the books. They're not going anywhere. But,
right.
Yeah, I mean, you can make your own cards. You can. Yep.
Yeah. I just always thought that was like a funny little thing. Just like, oh, I could just make like pennies on the side doing that. But. Yeah, no, I would love to make a couple of those into a song. I even thought maybe just making like songs that were inspired by the poem, where it's like an instrumental, but it captures like the vibe of the writing. Just, you know, each poem could have like a theme song or whatever, but that's a lot of work that I just can't get into right now, but it's a cool thought that I would love to play with someday.
Yeah. Even like Spotify, you can put like the, cause I made Stephen a keychain with that song by Riel that always makes him cry. I Get to Love You. And it makes him cry. Quite amusing, I must say. I love it. And so, yeah, and I made him a keychain, and it's got, like, the Spotify link, you know, on there. So you could do something like that, like make the music to go with the poems and put, like the barcode or the QR code, like a QR code by each of the poems or underneath each of the poems, and people could hear the accompanying music with the poem. That's something for the future to think about.
Yeah, that honestly sounds pretty cool. I would enjoy that.
Yeah.
Well, that is a future me venture. Current me is exhausted just thinking about it.
Well, you know, to throw more into this discussion, the person you collaborated with on the illustrations also happens to be a recording artist, musician, and all that, and involved in recording studio. So you might not have to go too far to find somebody really good to work with there, either on the studio side, the musician side, the whatever. I mean, because he's so Jason's so multi.
Fascinating. You and Jason both sing. Not everybody realizes that you sing, but you can sing. And so,
he can belt it. He can do Freddie Mercury stuff. I've heard it.
I can vouch. I don't know about these days. It's a little rusty on the old vocal box, but it's what's funny about Jason working on music and stuff. He was, I think, working on three separate albums last year when we were doing this too, all at the same time. I was just thinking, oh my God, man, like, how do you do it?
We just keep trucking on.
I say, he's been doing it for decades, so he has a rhythm. And more power to him. That's awesome. I'd love to be able to do that.
I think most of us are ADD or neurodivergent of some sort to think outside the box like we do and have, 20 tabs open. But we've got to create something one way or the other or we go crazy, you know. We have to create. And I just think it's great that you get back into it because, Noah, you are a great writer. I've told you that for years, And, you know, but when your mother says it, it don't, you know, mean as much. It goes in one ear and out the other. You think I'm being, you know, swaying your way.
Yeah.
Because you're my son. But, no, you ought to know me better now. People that know me know I don't blow smoke up people's asses.
No,
including my children. If I think it's bad, I'll tell them it's bad. No one can vouch for that. I don't coddle or blow smoke.
Nope. Nope and nope.
No,
I don't
definitely
believe
do not.
Gentle parenting.
Well, I mean, it's just, people say like humble or whatever. No, I just, it's weird for me to think that anything I make is good, you know? But that's like, that's a whole like me thing, that I've been like working on for years.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
I think a lot of creatives are that way. And I mean, you pour your heart and soul out into a piece of art, writing or music or painting or whatever your art form is. You're mm-hmm. you're bearing part of your soul, and to throw that out there into the world to get, you know, praise is great, but you know there's always going to be some troll that's going to rain on your parade, and it hurts, you know, but you've got to learn to roll with the punches and ignore it and go on, and you're going to do what you're going to do and do what you love.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate thing how the negative statements speak louder than, like, one negative statement can just completely cloud over 100 good. And it's an unfortunate part of the human psyche, but it's, which I'm fine with. I mean, they can't say anything worse than I haven't told myself before. So it's one of those things. we'll see. I mean, I know there's going to be critics and things, which is fine.
Right.
And, you know, you put out work, it's going to get, you know, criticized one way or the other. That's just right. Nature. It's how it works. And, you know, it makes you better, you know, most of the time. Sometimes, you know, there's like that 1% who are just trolls and they just want to be assholes and stuff. But, you know, that's just part of it. So, yeah, it's going to be an exciting few months, to be sure.
It is. And constructive criticism is always good, and it's welcome because, like you said, that's how you grow, you know. But, yeah, be prepared for that. It's always hard when you put your first thing on Amazon and you get those reviews coming in. And, oh, God, you get these people that will put one – And I know everybody in the chat room, Carol, you can vouch for this. You have these putzes that put this one-star review because, Amazon delivered a open package or a dinner package or, you know, it had nothing to do with you or your writing or anything to do with the book. It had to do with Amazon, but then they'll whack you with a one-star rating, you know? It's mind-boggling, but it happens. Forewarned.
Yeah, I mean, they have bots and things like that that just kind of go in and leave weird things. So it's inevitable, and it's fine. You know, it's just really hearing people's like actual real statements and reviews and things like that. Yeah, I remember one friend of mine was concerned. She's just like, man, you're going to make people real sad with this. but there's some good, happy ones in there, too. It's just I'm a sad boy.
Yeah.
I can't help it.
It doesn't make
sad.
It's relatable. I don't think it makes you sad. I think it's relatable to those that's dealt with depression, anxiety, you know, neurodivergency,
anger.
Anybody that's dealt with any kind of mental issues at all, which is 99.9% of us, you can relate to some of those poems. You can relate it to your own feelings in your own life.
Yeah. And like, I never had intentions to like upset people or like be like purposely edgy just for the sake of it. It's
no,
that, like, some of the pictures and things in there, I would like to forewarn that might slightly trigger people, but that's not the intention. It's just purely what was going on in my head at that time. And like I said, it's well over a decade worth of things. Some of those, like I said, are from like late teens. Like I was like 18, 19, 20. And, you know, all the way up to now, I'm almost 28 and I was still writing some of them last year. I mean, hell, I wrote, I think over 20 of them just last year. And it was definitely a journey, both emotional and just mental, because, and honestly, it was kind of freeing sitting there and thinking, oh, yeah, it was therapeutic. It didn't really help my workflow because I was at, you know, Tiffany and Company at a workbench playing with diamonds. But I'd be sitting there writing poems instead. It was really cool to sit there and just actively work on something knowing, hey, this is going to actually end up being something cool. Because I'm notoriously bad at finishing anything. Like, I will start and start and start doing cool things. I will get this. I'll start a new hobby or whatever. I will never, ever finish them. And that's well, just a byproduct of, yeah, it's
me.
And so it sucks. And I wish I wasn't that way, but unfortunately it's how I am. So I just always hope like, oh, well, I hope I come back to it eventually. And that's kind of what happened with the poetry. But last year, so many things were happening. It was a shit year. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It was a bad year for the most part, and it stirred up a lot of things. And then I started experiencing new things, like I had my first panic attacks ever last year. So there is a poem that is specifically about anxiety in there, that I think some people might relate to in some way or another. There's all kinds of things. There's a couple that are about, you know, love and finding a muse. One in particular in my head is called Rosebud. I really love that one. And I think I wrote it about being a choice between, like, in a relationship, should I keep going and letting this grow, or do I prune it, you know, cut it off before things get too bad and the plant end up dying? You know, that's kind of like the metaphor I was going for with it. And so it just kind of, it always depended on what I was feeling that day, week, month, year. I remember going years. I mean, last year was the first time I wrote a poem in probably 2 or 3 years prior. And, you know, it just kind of just comes and goes for me, which, you know, in one way, kind of sucks because, you know, I could be sitting here writing my next book, but
yes,
I don't feel genuine when I sit down and make myself write something rather than going, oh, I need to write this down because it's just speaking to me, and like the words come and like they flow, and like it goes in waves. It always comes and goes in waves. And so I'm just kind of seeing if this book actually coming out inspires me again to hopefully work on the next one.
And we call those pantsters. You are what in the writing world referred to as pantsters, which is me. Now, like Steve and a lot are plotters, you know, they plot their beginning, middle,
I'm
end.
I'm a hybrid. I'm a hybrid. I'm about middle of that middle of that spectrum. Yeah, I'm about somewhere in the middle of that spectrum.
You know how it's going to end.
I know where
it's going. To end.
But I,
see,
like
I
just said, my yeah, but I allow myself room too to respond to things.
Right.
And that's what happens with my latest project. Yeah, yeah. So yeah,
right.
You can fit anywhere along there. Yeah.
I'm mm-hmm. more of a pantser. You know, I have to be in the mood to write. I write every day, but not for my enjoyment or benefit. I'm writing because I'm answering emails, tons of millions mm-hmm. of them, or I'm working on programming, you know, and all this. So I am creating, of course, because, well, I do the program for Imaginarium and all that. But, yeah, as far as, you know, my children's book series, hell, I've been working on it for years, and I've got maybe, you know, 6 pages wrote. So, yeah, it's all in my head, but it's the fact that I have to be in the mood. I have to not be stressed. I have to just be chill. And
I get that.
I've just got to be in the mood to do
yeah.
it. I can't sit, you know, like Steve, you know how Steven is. The other day,
oh, yeah.
the other day you had to tap on the window to get his attention. That was hilarious. But, Steven writes every single morning. You know, he gets up, he writes. And I couldn't do that. Sorry, I'm a late night person anyway. And yeah, I have to write late, but I have to be in the mood. Most of the time I'm exhausted. And like Noah's got a job, you know, a day job and all that. And you have a stressful day job. You tell everybody what you do for a living.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Oh.
Yeah. That's interesting.
So, if people can't tell, I'm kind of into the macabre, especially if you read anything in that poem, my book, it's, I have no qualms with talking about, you know, things of the darker nature, death, mental illness, things like that. So that's always kind of fancied me. So earlier this year, I actually started working as a crime scene cleanup person, I guess. I work for a service that goes and cleans up after, you know, deaths, homicides, suicides, unattended deaths, things of that nature. I even do hoarding and things. It's an interesting job. And what I love about it is it's always something new. Like every single job is different. And we're always helping families because, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, you came in, did your job, but at the same time, you helped someone on the worst day of their life.
Right.
And that's what really the cool part of it is. But then there's the other side of me who's just like, ooh, yeah, I like to see all this horrible stuff because I'm just like, ooh, this is interesting. Not like in a weird serial killer way. No, it's like interesting because I'm just curious. And I've never been squeamish with anything like that because my mom here was a nurse for 20 odd years and never really sugarcoated anything, even at the dinner table.
Nope.
So,
nope.
Yeah, I feel like that kind of conditioned me to just be like, okay, yeah, you know, death was never something that was taboo to talk about.
No.
That's one thing every single person shares in common.
Yep.
We all end up in a box or just in a hole in the ground or as dust or as a tree nowadays, which is awesome.
Which is awesome.
So yeah, it's a really cool job. It's one of those jobs that unfortunately is necessary.
Somebody's got to.
And yeah. I always see people saying, oh wow, I could never do that job. You guys are are crazy. And I'm just like, I mean, I have no problem holding, you know, brains in my hand. It's just, we all have one. And it doesn't gross me out. Now, if you put a smashed up tomato in my hand, I might just barf all over the place. I absolutely despise tomatoes with a passion. Even looking at one makes me go, ugh. But if I see like a spatter of bio on the wall, I'm just like, oh, well, I'll clean that up. And plus, there's also that thing, I'm completely suited up. I'm double gloved. Right. I'm in a suit. I have a respirator on, so I'm completely safe. And that's the most important thing. And so when you're suited up like that, you're just feeling like you could take on the world. Sure, I'll dip my hand into a pile of maggots. Why not? You know, not to get too gross. Yeah, I don't want to get too gross on you guys because I have seen some things, but there's also the sad part of it. I mean, because especially how I'm like an assistant supervisor and probably will be a supervisor soon because of things happening at work. But I have to actually sit there and talk with the, you know, family members and try to sell them our job and, you know, tell them what we're going to do and everything and talk to them. And sometimes that's not always easy because, like I said, it's like the worst day of their lives. And that's probably the hardest part, especially when it's like a really bad scene and it's just – you just have to sit there and just kind of distance yourself saying, hey, I'm here to do a job. Try not to focus on, you know, the whole context of the situation. Because there's an immense amount of pride that you feel when you finish a job. Because you go into a room after one of those scenes and it's gruesome. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. A lot of the times it is really bad, like something out of a movie or a show, and you just sometimes you're taken aback, like, wow, this is real.
Where did we start?
I won't go into the details, but I remember one going into it, and this woman was attacked by her boyfriend with a machete. I will not go into the details because it, you know, obviously I'm not going to air that out. It's, but yeah, it that's the one that kind of really just made me go, whoa, this is.
That's somebody's family member, you know, you're thinking about that. That's somebody's, you know, daughter or you know, sister or mom.
Right.
Or, you know, and you know, because you've lost people close. So I mean, you understand that. So it's hard, you know, and you've got to have the personality to be able to talk to the families, to be able to deal with that. But I think from all the years of me nursing and just talking about it, and death is a natural part of life. And I never sugarcoated it. And you know, you guys were around it young because, I'd take care of my brothers, you know, both my brothers dying. And then, you know, you lost your grandpa last year. But, I mean, you guys have been around it too. So,
you
know, and I never viewed it as taboo. It's part of life.
Yeah. I will confidently say, though, I will never go work in a nursing home. That's just cleaning up blood, that's fine for me. Cleaning up diarrhea off of the wall, that's I don't know. That's not for me.
The code brown, the famous code brown.
To do that job.
I will say there are plenty of times where I have to do that as well, but at least I'm suited up, you know, but it's a really, honestly, it is a fun job, outside of the context of everything. It's not fun because of the context, but I get to travel across the country because, you know, I may be stationed here in Lexington, but we drive up to like 6 hours away sometimes to go out on a job.
Tennessee, you know, you're really close.
Yes. And, you know, that's the cool part of it. You get to travel, you get to see places. And it's just a really interesting job that just, it takes, and I don't want to like sound like, oh yeah, it takes a certain person, but it does take a certain type of person
to
be able to.
Sure it does. Yeah, I wouldn't want to.
One thing I see is that people actually get like a lot of mental illness from, you know, handling like, oh, this was, you know, a kid, you know, for like the extreme version, but you know, things like that, well, where they just go back and, you know, they spiral and think, oh God, like, well, I'd say the only thing that has got me is that, now I am just learning of more ways things could go wrong. So it's just, there's more dangers out there that I'm learning of, illnesses, things like that, you know? Yeah, so now I'm just like, oh, boy, makes me want kids even less. just for their sake, like purely for their sake. Cause it's like, I don't want to have that stress. So it's, yeah, it's just, you know, it's a job, and it's cool. It's probably, it's the first job I actively want to continue working in, you know, because jobs are not fun. You know, no one wants to go away from home for 8 to 12 hours away, you know, from home, just slaving away for little to nothing. But here, you know, at this job, at least, you know, I feel like I'm making a little difference. I am doing something that honestly, the job now, I've always kind of wanted to go into crime scene cleanup because I saw things on TV or I'd see it in a movie and I just think, huh, that would be really cool. So, yeah, it's just, it doesn't, like, none of that stuff really bothers me. And I don't know if that makes me weird.
Boy, that job security. That's the thing. When you go into something, go into something, you got job security. My God, you definitely got job security because who the hell wants to do that? I mean, I would. If I was well and wasn't a nurse, if I, you know, if I was well, I'd be working as a nurse. But if I was well, hell, I'd do your job. I think it would be neat. I mean, I feel bad for the families and my heart pour out like, you know, you said. But, yeah, I mean, as far as the job, it wouldn't bother me at all because, my God, I've cleaned up things that, yeah, would – make a sailor blush, but
well,
I've seen things. But yeah, I was a wound nurse for many years doing home health, and I've seen things. But, yeah, I mean,
well,
not
Holly,
everybody could do that either, you know. But
well, Holly,
yeah,
I will say that one of his suits would come in handy when we have to go in and clean up a litter box after Vicky's been in there. That
oh,
might
absolutely
be helpful.
Yeah.
100%.
That might help.
The presence of ungodly proportions.
Yeah, the Vicky bombs are against the Geneva Convention.
Yeah, that they're eye watering. But oh man, but yeah, it's yeah, Holly. Yeah, I think you. You're another person that would be able to handle that as well. I think, but that's something else.
Well, I don't have the aversion to death that you do. You know, I didn't want the kids to ever have that aversion because none of us are getting out of here alive. You know?
No.
The moon, Dwan Hurt said that he is so proud of you. The moon is very proud of you, Noah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah,
he'll be excited
he's
to see
up.
You in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, he's hanging out in the chat room tonight. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot there's a chat room. Hi, chat.
They're in there.
Carol Pomplatis is still hanging in there. Carol writes mystery thrillers, and she thinks your job is, you know, sounds very cool. Yeah, she'll definitely chat with you. Carol will definitely want to chat with you because, yes, I mean, you could give her insight into a lot of things that she could add in her books. I mean, honestly, when you feel comfortable enough, like maybe next year or something, you could even do a workshop about writing, you know, these scenes and talking about true crime and all this. We do have a lot of true crime experts coming this year, but, yeah, you can get
I'll
clean it up.
Yeah, I love true crime, actually. I watch it with my girlfriend almost every day. We are just constantly flooding our minds with just the worst horrible stuff going, yes, this is awful, but I love it. You know, it's just, it's like an addiction. You're just feeding on it. But I also, it's really the curiosity aspect for me, because I'm just like, how can people like that really exist? That's the thing. It's just,
what
is in their
mind? That's
what
I'm trying to explain to Steve. Steve's like, why are you and Becca and Diana so obsessed with these true crime? And I'm like, it's not the obsession. It's the fact that, well, we know what to do with you if we get rid of you. But no, it's the fact that, you know, don't test us. But no, it's the fact of, you know, wanting to know how the human brain can actually snap to that point. What triggers the brain to snap to that point where you can just totally take away all humanity and act pure animalistic, you know? It's mind-boggling. It really is.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I think it's cool. And, yeah, if anyone, like, finds me in Imaginarium and you want to hear me explain some of the gory details of my job that I've seen or I've heard within the company, then yeah, I'll totally tell you. I have no filter outside of a podcast.
Carol definitely wants to meet you, so I have to introduce you to Carol. She definitely does. And I told her you could show her some pictures, and she would definitely like to chit chat with you and you know, get some insight. But yeah, I told her you could offer a lot of insight onto that world.
One really recent one where we're pretty sure that the brother was involved with the murder of his sister. But that was the creepiest one for me, because he really gave off the bad vibes.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would agree with you 100% based on what you told us. Yeah, absolutely. But I'm not surprised. I knew Carol would love this.
She's eating this awesome. Up, man. He's like, I want to meet you too, Dwan. Dwan says he's got the Moon Unscathed podcast that he would be more than happy to talk to you about it uncensored. So you could actually... I'm going to put you into what, well, I'll introduce you to. Have you met Dwan? Okay, I'll reintroduce you and be like, here, you know, you guys set it up, because that would be a great podcast, to get into to all that. But, it's pretty wild. And, Noah, sometimes the families don't want nothing. They tell you to keep whatever. And so Noah's brought me a couple of little tidbits, and I got a little sign in my yard that's got a squirrel that says, this is the nut house, which it is. And so I saged it and everything before I put it in my yard. He brought me, and I was like, wait a minute, I'm going to sage this sucker. You know, I don't want to experience it is sad, some of the things you see. You know, but you know what? Maybe someday you could write a book about your experiences from this and talk about, you know, the little squirrel thing that you brought me from, and talk about that experience. You can't name names, of course, because of HIPAA, but, you know, you could talk about the experiences and different things. That would actually be really interesting to true crime fans.
What's cool is there's a YouTube channel I can't cannot remember the name of, but they interview people anonymously, like they have a mask on and a voice filter and everything, to talk about like things they see in their job. And the most recent one was actually a crime scene cleanup. And what they were talking about and, like, you know, explaining and telling them what they do and what they've seen, what's, like, the worst things they've experienced. And I was just sitting there going, yeah, that's – wow, that's kind of on the nose. Yeah, that's, like, pretty much exactly what it is. And I kind of felt bad for that person because, unfortunately, got a lot of kind of trauma from some of the things they saw, which, you know, I totally get. I do not shame or blame or deem anyone like weak or anything for doing that. No, because I mean, I tell you, I have stories that even I go, ugh, it sucks, but it's an unfortunate but necessary job that if no one did, it would be a problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's just like another day of work for me, every day. But the best thing about it is every day is different. You know, you can never go in expecting anything because you never know what you'll find. I really like the biggest concern right now was fentanyl.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Especially here in Kentucky, where it's like Winchester is really bad with it. It's a very dangerous hazard, and that's just another thing on the list we have to worry about now. So,
it took one of my closest friends that Noah you never even got to meet, and that's Miss Holly. And she
I met her
in Washington. Did you meet Miss Holly?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I loved her more than anything, and she was such a light in this ugly world, and the damn fentanyl took her way too soon, and then her sister just got killed by a drunk driver a few weeks ago, which is just unbelievable because Miss Holly died less than a year ago. So it's crazy, but yes, the fentanyl crisis is definitely insane. Yeah.
It's bad. But,
It is. But that's another thing you can write about. That's what I said. It, you know, everything going on in this ugly world, you know, gives us more fuel, especially to pour into poetry, because poetry is a it's a link. It's a link between us all. We can, you know, tap into that. It's not so literal. You know, you can kind of tap into feelings and emotions to where you don't always in prose, you know. But poetry is on a whole different level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's more, like I said, like raw. 'Cause, I mean, poems can be the size of a book like the Odyssey, or they can just be two single sentences. That's what I love about it. It's so versatile. And I try to be, I don't like to be the same as others. I don't like, I like things to be unique. And I try in my writing style to change things up a bit because a lot of my poems, they don't have like the common rhetoric or rhyming scheme, traditional like stanzas and all that jazz. And, you know, it might be off-putting to some, which is fine. Even when I read them sometimes, I go, that's an interesting choice, but you know, it's just experimenting, you know, trying things out, just kind of seeing where the cards lie. And I don't know, I think I got comfortable in my later writings, kind of getting into my own thing. 'Cause you know, there's so many ways you can write a poem. I mean, haikus exist, so, you know, anything can exist.
That's awesome.
I love haikus, especially fish slamming haikus, which I'm an award-winning poet. Thank you very much. But yeah,
fish
I love haikus.
Haikus.
Yeah,
King Oscar. That'll be Noah's next world to explore is fish slamming haikus and King Oscar. But
yeah, I'll win you some free fish.
There you go.
Oh man, but we're getting close to the end here, so I definitely want to give you a chance, Noah. This is where the time of the show when we give you a chance to give everybody whatever links or platform that you would like for people to find you online. And I know you're just getting into that phase, but yeah, feel free to share whatever you'd like here.
Oh, all my cool social media things are kind of dead. There's a Twitter account I don't use. I have Facebook,
right.
But it's just my first name, middle name, last name. Good luck trying to spell it. I mean, you can see it actually on the book. So if you go by my book, you can spell my last name.
I can do it without checking.
Wait of thought.
Yeah, weight of thought. And I can do it without checking. I know how to spell his last name.
That's awesome.
Learn how to spell it.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of like
W-I-E-C-Z-O-R-E-K. That's right.
There
I
you go. Nice. I have to still spell it in my head every time I write it out.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't really have a lot of links. I would plug my
Twitch,
but I haven't. Yeah, I haven't.
Yeah, you're streaming
there. I'm like, well, I haven't done that in like, beginning of the year.
God, hey, you used to do that regularly.
Yeah, I used to stream all the time gaming. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I gotta get back into that. It's just, you know, I never know when I'm going to get out on a call because I'm on call every day to go out on a job. So it's kind of hard to figure out a time to stream. Like, I could technically start streaming on, like, Tuesdays or stuff or things like that because that's my day off, maybe every other weekend. But, yeah, I used to stream a lot, and that was a lot of fun. And I'd love to get back into it. I actually thought about it recently.
People know to find you?
Oh, God. Well, my Xbox One is Saint Anger 11727. And then I have, you could find me on Steam at like Saint_Angerous. Then there's,
cool.
Yeah, I mean, you can follow me on Twitch. I think it's the Stranger Sound. It'll be like a cool skull with kind of like a neon pink and teal kind of background color scheme. You can find me on there. You can find me on Facebook, Noah David Zorich. I wouldn't follow me on Twitter. I post on there probably once every 5 years. Instagram, same thing. So.
But you're getting better at it because why? Because you are a published author.
Yeah. I may be 28 years old, but the social media game is still too much for me. I have a TikTok with one single video that has like 100 views. I have them all. I just don't use them.
That's
technically
awesome.
Have a Reddit account, but I only use it to read random awful stories, you know? That's just, unfortunately, I'm boring. I don't have anything exciting except the book. So, yeah.
Well, he is fun. It is fun to watch him play video games. Technically, I got a true live streaming episode the other day when he came over for a bit, and I got to watch him play the new Diablo 4, which is fantastic, by the way. It made my heart feel warm and fuzzy. But, Noah is fun to watch. So if you do catch him on live stream, folks, watch, because he's entertaining. So
He's a Halo fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my first tattoo I ever got was Halo themed.
Yep.
And it's awesome. I love it.
Well, fantastic. It has been awesome having you on the show. Definitely an honor to have you on the first day to have your first full book published as a writer. This is awesome, and I can't wait to see where this goes from here. But thanks for joining us tonight. And, this is a big day for Holly, too. So, Holly, go ahead. You and Noah close her out, because this is a big day for both of you.
Well, I just want to say congratulations, Noah. And this is book one of many to come. And I know you do great things and create great things. And thank you for joining us tonight and sharing your wisdom.
It was fun. I actually have always wanted to be on a podcast. Funny enough, I've been juggling with the idea of starting my own for years now, but I don't know when that would happen. It's been fun, and I'll be happy to come back anytime when I'm free and, you know, can hang out. I can tell you more horror stories. I got plenty of those.
Cool. Sounds good.
Fantastic. Well, you know what? We can always chat about you, you know, taking the co-host chair once in a while if you feel froggy. And, I mean, you know, join us. Carol says you have a great voice, or Sandy. Carol Sandy one said you have a great voice for radio, and I said, yeah, he does. But, I want to thank you for joining us, and come back sooner than later. And you can meet Noah and his cohort, Jason William Allen, at Imaginarium here in just over 2 weeks. And Weight of Thought, WEIGHT, Weight of Thought. Check it out. It's available where all good books are sold. And quite a statement piece. And I know you will all enjoy it. Join us next Wednesday evening, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Next week will be the Imaginarium pregame show. Don't want to miss it. Woo. We'll see you then. For the rest of the week, be creative. Bye-bye.